or tonight is our last service. It's going to be tremendous. One of the things that I just sensed as we were praying last night and after everyone had left, we were praying and I just sensed the Holy Spirit say this morning and tonight, especially, He's going to release a wave of healing, anointing in this building, in this place. So I want you to bring people who need healing. I want you to get on the phone today. I want you to bring people who have incurable disease. I believe we've seen it happen so many times. Our brother seen so many times this happen. And I want to tell you, I'm glad that we have a God that cares and will heal and set people free. Aren't you? Amen. Amen. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, it says this, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was one of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." According to my word. See, God raises up prophets. God raises up men and women in an hour in which the world needs to hear God speak. He anoints them. And there are a lot of people out there speaking, but there are some that are anointed. And they're speaking as God leads them to speak. And when you read this, this was a mighty thing. Where he says, according to my word. God was using this man as a vessel to speak according to His words. And He said, there's not going to be any rain. And there was no rain. Now that's powerful. According to my words. But you see, God wants to raise up men and women in this hour for that to speak to a nation and a world that needs to hear the voice of God. That will say, thus saith the Lord. And I believe God has raised up our brother for an hour, as he's not only speaking to us, but speaking worldwide. And he has a message. And his heart speaks that message as it has to us. And the word says that when you speak my word and preach my word, these signs shall follow your ministry. These signs confirming my word. And I thank God tonight, or this morning, that God has sent us such a man here in this camp meeting, that I believe that as he speaks, it is the word of the Lord. It is what we need to hear in this hour. It is what we need for this day. It is what we need to hear this morning. It is relevant to the life and the moment, the hour in which we live for our future. Not only today, but for our future. So I want us to welcome this morning the man of God, Brother Hogan, if he would come. Amen.
Holy Ghost. Thank y'all. If you will, go ahead and let's have this thing about y'all went ahead and sit down. You shouldn't have. It's because you anticipate that's what you're supposed to do. We're not going to do that. Stand up, please. We're going to worship Jesus and thank Him. Please, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Fuego! Shelebata. Thank y'all. Have a seat now, please, and get your Bible. I want to share something concerning these things, rags and stuff on the and shoes. Over in Acts 19. I have these little things in my Bible that I use for bookmarkers. I picked them up down in the swamp down there. Bonny D. Good idea, it means. Assembly of God there. They have these things made out of cloth. Acts 19 written right on there. Good idea. And they had thousands of them, actually. Man, and we just, so I just got me a handful of them for bookmarks. And but you see, y'all, I know it's strange, unusual, odd. Most things God does for us, according to your world, is odd. It's different. You know, and but it says right here, Acts 19. Verse 11 and 12 says it right on this little thing here. But I'll read it out of mine. It says, Acts 19, verse 11. And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. I really like to preach on that, personally. Maybe one of these days I will for you. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. And so that handkerchiefs and towels and aprons which had touched his skin were carried and put on the sick. And their diseases left them, and the devils, the evil spirits, came out of them. And that's what this is all about right here. You know, y'all, some of y'all are here. You want what you put this stuff up here is for your own personal benefit. Maybe you get something out of it. Who knows? But the idea is to help other people. And that's a good thing. You need to try to remember that. You need to do that. You need to find these places in the Bible where God did. He broke out on His people. And He did it in unusual ways. But He's still doing it now. What should have happened is before we... Shall pick me up a Pentagon thing when I was there. It's pretty nice. Yeah, that's another memorabilia. Should have told us all about it. But, you know, me and the Indians, we didn't know that you couldn't do all these things. And we started doing them, and they work. We found them in there, and we said, wow, check this out. I wonder if this will work. It started working. It's pretty nice. Holy Ghost. All right. Now, since this is Sunday morning, I went ahead and dressed up for you. Did you notice? I went right out of my way to do it to you. I was sitting there picking through my t-shirts. Now, which one is the best one for Sunday morning? If you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Right out of the gate, we're going to let the old bull buck. We're going to put the shocker to him and just see what he's got. Holy Ghost, fire of God. Now, I figure you got most of the church people in here this morning, you know, the local people that's y'all's church. You'll have a better shot at getting them on a Sunday morning. So I might as well go ahead and fire it up. Never have been one to back away from a good ruckus. Holy Ghost. Shiatane. I was in this little bitty old church out yonder in the woods preaching. Because I like to go to the big places like everybody else does. I mean, you just feel like you're accomplishing something when you're standing in front of 12,000, 15,000 folks. But it's come to my attention that you accomplish the same thing with a greater percentage with fewer people. So, honestly, the ministry has grown to a point where I had to make a decision. And the buck stops with me when it comes to making a decision for us. And so I called up a whole bunch of counselors, because there's a whole bunch of good men that I submit to that are honest, good people that have they're committed, they're real. And they got some of them's large churches and some of them's not. And God's gave me a bunch of people I can talk to. So I call them up and I ask them, you know, what we going to do? Because the work has got to a point and the international side of things has got to a point that I've got to do something, because I can't get to everybody. And of course we're not going to dump the mega churches. Who in their right mind? Well, look, I ride a mule. So you just can't figure I'm going to make the same decision that some of them pretty boys are going to make. I'm going to get on that pretty boy thing this morning, so, because y'all are all looking really pretty, so I got to get after you. And myself, I did it right on up for you. But I want you to look. All right. Shonda, is that thing ready? All right, are y'all ready? Not right this second, but are you about, did it work? Okay. I'm going to show y'all a couple of pictures. I'm not into twisting your arm for an offering. I can. I'm good at it. I can. I'm not bashful. You can tell. I'm just not bashful. They're in a subject that I get ashamed or embarrassed about, especially getting into your wallet. I mean, look, if you'll give it to the devil, I am not one bit ashamed of getting it for you for heaven, for souls. I mean, so, but I got this integrity stop on me. Good for you. Or I'd twist you up, boy. Give it out, bud. Squeal like a pig and shut up. Just about name a subject and I have the same opinion about it. But I think Brother Sean's going to talk to you. It ain't going to take but a minute. But probably 5 or 6 minutes. And it's our people. It'll make me weep when I see them. But I love them. I got no qualms at all about getting after you for them. But I'm telling you, all of you, we got to go for souls. And I'm going for it in a serious way. I'm going to be telling you some things in a minute that your eyes are going to just cotton pick and get big and bug. And it's not my fault. We've just happened to be there. But heaven is amazing. And it don't have a whole lot to do with how you dressed or which jail or moose you use or what kind of car you drive, nor even, I got a pocket full of platinum cards and I don't owe a nickel on any of them. It's an integrity thing again. But there is millions of people that have never heard the gospel. God's given us a nation and a people that need us. And last year we did a fast in what is this year here? Four? And three. That was, I don't remember again, was it 2 and 2 or 2 and 3 or 3 and 3 or 2 and 2, fast 2, eat 2, fast 2, January, February, March, April, and then we shut down the whole ministry and fasted the whole month of May. We're seeking heaven. You can do what you have to. Irrelevant to me. It's not going to change a thing about what I'm doing. We know how to seek God, and that's what we're doing. We have learned how to approach heaven. And it means boil up the impurities out of us. And you do that through submission. And so we did that. And during that time in May, one of the things on my personal list was what to do about, because our things are big anymore. We're in every nation in America and the world. Have invitations everywhere to every church. It's just amazing. And lots of people's mad at us because we won't accept. And it's not that we haven't accepted. It's that God hadn't spoken to me personally yet. And size is irrelevant so far. Still so far. I'll give you that. Money, so far. We're still holding the line. But you got to understand that during that time, the Holy Ghost, because I had to drop, I got to do something to get me some space for growth. That's how you do companies, I'm sorry. And so that means you got to cut churches. So who do you cut? And of course, the first option is the small ones. There ain't no money. But the way they get big is you grow them. So it's a dilemma, you see. Heaven spoke to me directly, me personally, directly to stay with the grassroots and to let the hype and fluff alone. He'll take care of us. So I never asked sizes nor amounts of money. You can test that for yourself. And, and I get surprised a lot. And I'm not one that likes surprises. But faith demands a particular walk. So we take it. We take the walk. Of faith of God. So heavens, let us stay with invitations, not particulars. Dropping to 1,000 members or 10,000 a day or none of that. We're just going where Jesus leads us. Let Him worry about all those other things. That's a good thing, huh? Yeah. Brother Sean, you want to come up here? Go ahead and hit that. I don't know how y'all going to do it. Y'all can work it out. I'll just go over here by the piano and mess around.
Hello.
Look for something to fuss about.
Just want to share a few pictures with y'all so you can see what our work is like down in Mexico and get you some faces to go along with the stories, a few things. These are a couple of our pastors there. That's some older Indians. The younger generation dress a little more normal, but that's how the older Indians, they all dress in the white. And That's our work there, way up in the mountains. We work mainly in the mountains and pretty much only with Indians, about 2 dozen different tribes of Indians in Mexico. That's better. Next. These are a few of our pastors that we brought from the lower in the valleys of Mexico and the valleys where we work up in the higher mountains. This is a new work that we're starting just about a year or two ago. We started this section and this particular place just about 6 months ago. And we brought them up and did a couple-day campaign and had a couple dozen people got saved and we had a baptism. And these guys are going up from where they live and being missionaries in places where we're at right here. They don't have any family there or know that they're a different tribe of Indians. And God's really blessing us, and they're going out and seeing the call of God also to go out and live, actually move to a new place and work. And next, please. We're going to show this one again later, but today I was going to tell you all this story about this lady here. It's awesome, awesome testimony of just the power of God and for her and her baby. Let's see the next one. So one of our baptisms there in Mexico. We don't have any baptismals. All of our baptisms we do at the local river, whichever the closest place that has any water, we head out there. And haul the brothers out there and pick out a couple of pastors to go out there and help the new people. Anybody that's gotten saved in the last couple months, we'll bring them down there and when they get ready to get baptized. Holy Ghost. It's awesome. A lot of times we have to drag them out of the water because Holy Ghost comes on them and that's it. They would don't want them to drown right after they get baptized. And it's a blessing. Let's see the next one there. I said that. Same baptism. That's for the day of his granddaughter.
That's
there
my baby. Yeah.
It's awesome. We had to go out further out in the river that day. The water was a little low. And next, please. That's our work trucks that we use there in Mexico, hauling the brothers. We'll go from different villages. They have no way. They don't have their own vehicles or a way to get further away than a couple hours hike. So when we're going to a place that passes by where we already have a church, they'll load up, get 100 people in the back of the truck, and go for a couple hours to go have church. It's awesome. And that's what we use. Next, please. It's one of the Indian tribes in southern Mexico. They're working there at the market. We have a work in South Mexico and Central Mexico, and then now we're starting works up in the northern part also on the whole along the eastern seaboard. Next. This is one of our pastor's sons in one of our works way up in the mountains. They had an awesome miracle to have that baby. She had had a lot of serious complications, lost a couple children, even had one die after birth. And the day that one was born, we had service there and they were having a hard time. She was dying, the baby was dying again, and we went in to pray for her, and while we had been having church, she had the baby. She was in another house. We went and had church, and God just totally delivered them. And this is about a month later, and they're just happy. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Yeah. Next, please. This, again, brothers heading up to a baptism up in the mountain where this is the day after we'd had that start in the new place. Really cold up there. For the brothers to go up there from the lower place, like I was saying, and move up to a new place is just totally abnormal for them. They don't leave their village. There's no way to get land up in a place where they're not from. And also, the climate is totally different there. And for them to be willing to go, it's just an awesome thing, awesome step for the work. Next, please. Can't hardly. It's two of our sisters in southern Mexico at our work and work down there in Chiapas. They dress totally different down there. Each different tribe has their own way to dress. And that's one of our services down there in South Mexico. Next. I think that's Brother David. Yeah, preaching at a campaign we have in one of our works higher up in the mountains, bringing a tarp, bringing brothers from all over, and try to get some new villages started, call the people in, tell them what's going on, and pray for all the sick, get a few people saved, and then that way we move the work further out into the mountains. And so we do that pretty much every month in different areas of the work. We'll bring in people. The next one. That's one of our pastors on the right there. He's been working with Brother David for a long time. And that guy got saved that day and got baptized just a few days later. It was awesome. But that's another thing you can see there is the way they live. The houses, that's a typical Indian house there. It'll have dirt floor and the sticks or whatever they have for in that area. Some in the places in the valley don't have as much wood, so they'll use palm leaves or whatever they have. And it's awesome. That's our house. That's where we work, right there. Thank you, Jesus. Next. It's a few of our missionaries that work there in Mexico. The guy on the far right, Jody, I think he was here last time. It's Brother David's oldest son. The guy standing next to him is fixing to marry Brother David's daughter just a few days. Now, the other three guys are a few of the missionaries here from the States that are working there in Mexico. We're out hiking. Next. That's another way we get around our motorcycles. Besides the big trucks, there's a lot of places where the roads aren't available so we'll go in on the motorcycle or take the horse or whatever, or hike, whatever, however we have to do to get there. Next, please. It's another one of our baptisms. Like I said, not with the baptism where you get the cows and you get everybody out there during the baptism. So it's everybody's river. We just use it the way the Bible says. So. Next. It's one of our newer churches. They just built the building there and we're having a big campaign. We haven't got the roof on it yet. Believe in God for that. And it's just an awesome thing. It's one of our bigger buildings. They have an awesome vision there, awesome church. See souls. I'm not sure if there's any more. Is there another one? Yep, two more of our pastors there. That's how we have our praise and worship. We have a violin usually and one or two guitars and Holy Ghost comes down. They're awesome. Those two guys there are just filled Holy Ghost fire.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's one of the valleys of Mexico. That's pretty much where we work. Any of the areas where we have churches look pretty much like that. And like you see the houses down there, and then there'll be houses further across the valley. And take a couple hours to hike there, whatever it takes. There'll be pockets of villages all through the mountains. Lots of people, lots of villages, thousands of villages with no gospel. And it's an awesome thing to look out on one of those valleys and just see, as far as you can see, just houses out there and just knowing that there's plenty of work to be done. Next, is there any more? Yep. Another one of our baptisms. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. God bless y'all. Thank y'all very much.
Thank y'all for your time. I'll be with them soon. Second Timothy chapter 3. Talking about the fire of God. Sorry. Jeez. Whew. Most of those people you saw there, they were real young when I went, and the boys doing those fiddling guitars, they weren't even born yet. They, their whole life have followed us in the gospel. They're powerful. They raise the dead, heal the sick. If you have to leave anything behind, that's what you leave. God can change the people He sent you to. And He will. You just got to let Him. Apologize. really thankful heaven lets me work for him and go to places nobody else will. I'm not mad at you because you don't go. Honestly, you want to go to hell, that's your business. But I don't. And I'm going to help them because I can. That's why. There ain't no other reason. There wasn't any angels. There was a need. And we got to fill it. You have no idea how tough I am. And how tough I am on people that work with me whenever I'm in Mexico. Those people will not be misused and hurt. And you will not bring your American religious devil to our work. We will bring them a pure gospel, full of the Holy Ghost power. They don't need another. They don't need another religion. They need Jesus, man. Verse 1. Boy, I don't know if I can do this. I'm going to try. I need to do it. It's an important step. See, I'm emotional. You see me emotional? But that is not what gets the dead raised. You are emotional. You can't raise the dead. I'm emotional. I can raise the dead. There's something else has to be figured out besides an emotional burst. I'm for it. You see, I'm in. You see it? But there's more. The depth is not here. This is an emotional feeling of God. But raising the dead is different. That is God's expression of power to humans. That's a different thing. That's why I've got a job. You need to see me that I am emotional and that I do feel the power and presence of God and I do love those people. That's necessary. But that ain't what got that little woman and that baby up from the dead. You're going to see, I'll talk about that tonight after a while. It's strict mercy, that's all. Now, first of all here, you see, I'm not mad. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I can't wait to get home. And I'm close. I can discipline myself to do the job right. But what I'm fixing to read to you is very serious verses, and it's for you specifically this morning. Verse 1. Understand this. We're in the last days. I don't know how many days are left, no more than you do. But I know that according to Scripture and prophetic utterances, we feel the bill of the last days. Now, how long that'll last? Duh. I don't even care. I care about getting as many people out of it into heaven's fire and power as I can. That's my goal. It ain't proven to you I'm right. It's letting people out of hell into heaven that matters. Understand this, that in the last days will come, set in perilous times. Okay, Amplified, you all right with Amplified? Because it's a little bit different than the King James. Perilous times of great stress. Are you not in that? You are. And times are perilous. You can't go anywhere without being a target. No matter how innocent you are, you're a target. Isn't that something? This is perilous time. Stress is on us. Trouble, hard to deal with. Hard to bear. People will be lovers of self. Tell me that's not so. King County Fair going on out there. You know what their biggest problem was? They were hot. they couldn't spend their money and indulge their flesh. I saw it on the news last night. The biggest problem was we're hot. That's tough, huh? You get it? It's a self thing. We're there. I'm telling you, we're there. Utterly self-centered, lovers of money, aroused by inordinate, greedy desire for wealth. You're looking for hot coffee at McDonald's to spill it on you to get a $500,000 settlement. And you ought to have better sense than to touch hot coffee in the first place. Proud, arrogant, contemptuous boasters. Now this is a list of flesh, of sin, evil-driven people. And I'm comparing you to it. You are the church, for heaven's sakes. We are the example. We are to be different. We are not to follow them. You are the best. And you look like it, act like the worst. Stop it. We're getting out of this list into a different list. We are between the judgments, remember? I'm not here to judge you. I'm reading the list that's in the New Testament that we are not to touch and do. It is taboo. It's off limits. Stay away from it, out of it. No matter what it costs you, pay it. You know, and I say that after dressing up so pretty for you, too. You know? I feel so vulnerable to your thoughts. They will be abusive. See, many of you think I'm abusive. I want to be to evil. I have the right to hate evil. I am commanded to love God and hate evil. I abuse the power of the Antichrist. I attack it aggressively. It peels my flesh like it does yours. Tearing and ripping at my soul, trying to drag me to the worm beds of hell. I won't go! Those people will be born again, and that's the way it's going to be. They will miss hell because I stood and made a difference. You will do the same for your friends, neighbors, and countrymen. Blasphemous, scoffers, disobedience to parents, ungrateful. That is one of my hardest things, is people that are ungrateful. I really can't take it. I can't take. All of us deserve hell. And heaven has intervened, no matter the level we're at, that's irrelevant. We should all be moaning to heaven about, thank you, merciful God. Thank you, God. I'm grateful to you. I appreciate you, God. Regardless of look, I was at the pinnacle of our power. I was in the Pentagon just the other day, walking arm in arm with great men of power. And all I could do is weep. And my wife would come up every now and then and squeeze my hand. What are we doing here, Dave? I don't know, Miss Elkett. I have no idea. And these congressmen and scientists and leaders would stop and do this for me and my wife and Brother Sean to walk into the greatest offices on the planet. and pray in tongues to pray down power. Isn't that amazing? That don't make sense. It doesn't. You need to be grateful. You just need to be grateful. See, I wanted to be aggressive. I didn't want to be emotional when I was doing this. But I reckon God's got his hands on things. Unholy profane, they will be without natural human affection. You tell me that ain't happening. Everywhere it's a battle to let homosexuals and demon spirits run everything. No! Man, you're old fashioned. No, I'm right. You can't get away with talking like that. No, you can't. I've made my decision. I get away with it fine. Without natural human affection, callous, inhumane, relentless, admitting of no truth or appeasement. You can't make a covenant. You refuse to make a covenant. There's got to be a compromise. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be... No, there's not. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Whew. Boy, it's quite a list, isn't it? Relentless, admitting to no truth or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, betrayers, rash, inflated with self-conceit, lovers of sensual pleasure and vain amusements, more than and rather than lovers of God. Isn't that amazing? Y'all's whole life is centered around your vacation time. And your computer games and your what, letting everybody be occupied playing. You are marketed and you think you're free. Someone else owns you. It should be Jesus. Treacherous, betrayers, rash, inflated, self-conceited. Verse 5. For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, and power, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. There it is. I read it. I couldn't have said it as good. Your own conduct is your own judge, not me. My conduct is my judge. Your excuses are valid. They are. I'm serious. Your excuses are awesome. The economy, the government, the other governments, wars, rumors of wars, your conduct, your excuses, they're absolutely, positively true. They're just wrong. And I do sympathize for you and with you. I honestly do understand what you're telling me. But you will never receive the power of God with the excuse you're using now. It's not valid to heaven. It's just valid to each other. Let's go look. I wanted to read you that. It's a very serious list. But I never have been one to back away from the seriousness of confrontation face to face. If we can be helped each other by sharpening each other, we need to help each other. I feel like there's a coiled up rattlesnake, and you don't see him. And he's been rattling at you for a long time, and you're determined to step on him. I got to get you off that snake. Turn to Exodus, please. We've got to do this. Do y'all know we're working on our second 100,000 Indians? See, I haven't spoke numbers to you. Have you noticed? I don't think you noticed, did you? I just come out here and fight. Just backing down spirits, fighting with them. It's not about you and I. It's about spirits that try to run our lives in high places, governing and ruling authorities from hell that try to take the place of the King of Kings in our lives. Can't have it. No. There's this fellow who came to service one night. Exodus chapter 3. I believe this is the fourth place fire is mentioned in the Bible. I believe. I checked it again this morning. So I think I'm right. Exodus chapter 3. This is Revelation. This is Moses. Now I'm using some fairly generous, powerful people here. Abraham, Moses, Timothy, Paul, Saul. The people I lean on are guys that were successful. I could choose lesser people that didn't quite make it and feel better about myself. But I choose the people that God calls perfect. God calls the best human ever born in this area. Those people merit our attention, don't they? And we need to follow them because they're right. And they were humans subject to the same errors that we have. This fella came to church. I have to tell you, he was pretty. I never will forget him. I just stood there and looked at him. See, you got to understand that I know I'm a mule rider, right? So I'm good. Regardless of your viewpoint, it doesn't affect me or offend me anymore. I know who I am. I'm good. I am completely stable in my mind. I am awesomely there inside. Okay? But when I notice, I do recognize people that are pretty. And this fella, I'm telling you, I stood there. I can't tell you. I don't know how long it was, but it was a while. I was looking at him. You wouldn't have got a better shot off of Dillard's catalog. I'm serious. I'm serious. This guy, he was, his physique was right. His clothes, his shoes, his walk, his gaze, his demeanor. See, I didn't think I knew them kind of thing. But see, that's where you're fooled. My mama raised me out of a book of etiquette. I can do it. It's my choice to ride a mule. I was thinking, because we was all up in yonder. This is one of them redneck places where you ride mules, you know? And I was looking at him, and he just come. I don't know how he found us. This here's your ideal city boy here. I mean, he is just pretty. There ain't no, you can't even cast a lottery amongst 40 of us to get close to him. He's just so right. Next thing I know, he's in the prayer line. I just can't pass him up. I'm just sitting there looking at him. Now my interest is perked. What you doing out here with us? Now listen to what he says. What do you think he said? Y'all know. That's right. And I'm looking at him now. I see the perfect American. I see the embodiment of what y'all are looking for. The top of the pile. The best of the litter. He is definitely the pick. And I said to him, what do you do for a living? And I mean with the precision of a professional. I work for Delta Airlines. I'm one of their top captains. I said, no wonder you're so pretty. Because they have to represent the airline no matter where they are at all times. And I said, so which one of them planes do you fly around in? He said, Brother Hogan, I fly a jet. Oh, okay. Which one? I do the long flights across the Atlantic. I'm head captain of a 747. I had to step back a couple of steps. My admiration just kicked on up. Regardless of their character, they are flawless to gaze upon. True? I know you know I'm right. And I'm sitting there, I'm just completely bewildered now. He works for one of the best companies in the world to work for. He makes top money for as far as humans go. He lives, you know he lives. He has two or three apartments all over the world, and they pay for him. In his clothes, his cars, his children's, their education, the whole thing. It's top notch. You know I'm right. And I'm just looking at him. What do you need with me? Well, a few years ago, 15 to be exact, I was in a car wreck. Now that's something that nobody can anticipate just about. True? But it seems to visit everybody with any time on their license. Percentages just seem to find you. And his right leg got completely crushed. They rebuilt him. And he was pretty. But he was put back together with titanium plates, stainless steel rods, nuts and bolts. He said, Brother David, I hurt all the time. I said, you can't prove it by us. You're pretty. It's true, you know. Y'all are all trained to present yourself in a perfect way. And all of us do it. 100%. No, it don't matter where you're at. You do it. All of us put up a front. I said, man, you sure don't look like it. He said, listen, I'm in pain. I've been watching you on the internet and following you this and doing that, been to a couple of services. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm going, whoa. Now that's admitting something. What do you want? You tell me specifically. Y'all have heard me say that here. Be very specific with me. It's important to heaven. And I don't want any excuses. I want truth. He said, I want fixed. I said, okay. Good enough. Now I hit that man upside the head. Bah! Heaven followed the swing right on through. Knocked him out. I left. He's still out. But you should, when he was out. But I went back to check. You know, it was important. How he failed. I wanted to see. Might as well get some pictures of that. It's perfect. He's out, but he's perfect. I left. He was out. But once his phone rings after a while, 6 weeks had gone by. This is amazing. 6 weeks. Brother David, I was on a long haul. You know how they walk, right? I was in an airport. I went through security. It didn't go off. So I went over to the head policeman. Your machine's broke. And of course, they know each other. So he walks over there, check the machine, put your stuff down, go back through there. He goes back through. It didn't go off. Give me some wands over here. Got three of them. Three policemen. They're on this fellow now. He done made a disturbance. You shouldn't do that anymore. You walk in as humble as possible. Try not to draw attention. They run up and down him, all over him. You have nothing but bones and flesh on you. Now get on and jet. Get on out of here. And he's just looking at him. I'm telling you, the machines are broke. Got his bag, went on his job, came back, went to the hospital, to the doctor that put those plates in. They run him through, checked him, come out. Where you been? X-rays. No metal, all bone and sinew. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Now let's get us some revelation as to how we can do that. I've given you the revelation as to what not to do. Now let me give you the revelation as to what to do. See how easy life is? You just present, you choose, I go about my business. I've made my choice. Exodus 3:1. Give me a couple of minutes. Let's do this. You got a couple of more minutes? All right. Exodus 3:1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back and the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, Sinai, the mountain of God. Verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Here we go. All right. Every one of y'all know Moses is the deliverer, the perfect man. Who is he standing there when the angel appeared to him? Who is he? Negatory. Shepherds are front. Like you throw up. He's a murderer. Oops. You need to think a little past what's on the page. If you're going to mess with me, you got to think. Why is he on the backside of the desert, not over there with Pharaoh in the palace? Because he killed a man. And then he did worse than that. He tried to hide him and run. He is a murderer on the run. Sorry. It's the truth. That's who you are. That's who you were. We put these heroes up on pedestals, and we take them at the day of their greatest accomplishments, and that's how we view them. And that's how we say, that's who I want to be. And that's where you want to start. That is not where he started. He started hiding on the backside of the desert, charge of murder. Whether the man was innocent or not, or what, all of that, that's for y'all to decide. Y'all are theologians. I just know the man was guilty of murder, and he was on the backside of the desert hiding. He didn't tell his dad-in-law. He was fronting. He was hiding in his dad-in-law's house. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of... Oh, there's the word again. Jesus revealed himself to Moses. Moses was a loser. Many of you in here view yourself. Jesus loved you. You got that. God did fill you with the Holy Ghost. You do speak in tongues, but you can't get over it. What? Yourself. You are your biggest enemy. Not me, not the devil. You. It's true who you were, but it's not true who you are now. Isn't it? This is called revelation, isn't it? Isn't it? What you're doing is allowing Jesus to touch you and give you emotional bursts that wane in a few minutes, and you can't figure out what's going on. Why can't I flow like everybody else? You are. You're just like everybody else. You're putting people in positions that they cannot ever live up to. Right. Every one of us are humans. Every one of us were a mistake. Every one of us God came and revealed himself to. And then every one of us have the same option as what we do with it. Moses had to go back to Egypt, where he was a wanted murderer. Wow, that took courage. That took trust in heaven, didn't it? This is real. Read it right in your Bible. It's right there. It's a phenomenal thing, this revelation of who Jesus is. The angel appeared to him. And in your opinion, because the angel came to the service where Moses was, that automatically gives him right to it. No, it does not. God is in your services. That don't make you holy. That don't make you anointed. And you have found that out. And you're trying to compensate, trying to figure out why. Let me tell you why. Because you've got to turn aside. You've got to make a decision to go to the fire. Even though it's revealed to you, you still have to decide to go to it. That's why it's important to understand sacrifice before revelation. Because it's going to cost you. Moses had to trust God. That cost him. Had to leave his wife and kids, had to go lead a nation out of bondage. Out from a nation where he's a wanted murderer. He's a criminal. Man, that's amazing to me. I say you that just simply, when God started revealing this stuff to me, I was just going, whoa, that's me. That's me. I'm trying to hide in front and act like everything's okay and me and my 2.35 kids and we're going to be all right. No, you're not. He'll find you on the backside of the desert and offer you again the opportunity to come to the fire. You are the church. You are the one that has to take the revelation of God to this community. Because if God is not revealed in your spirit, is a God that can break natural law and get away with it, and the only being that can, you'll never get anywhere with the Holy Ghost. This is where God revealed to man his ability to break natural law, and everything's all right. Angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked. See, y'all have seen the fire. You have watched miracles. You have heard them. You have participated. You have been in services after services after services after services, and you still feel frustrated. I'm right, and I know I am. I'm a human just like you. I know the feeling. I know what it's like. I understand. You should know what it's like to go home after these kind of meetings and then wake up in the morning and not doing them again. The condemnation, the frustration, and the thing, that's why a lot of big men fall. It's a hard to cope with thing, I tell you, being a human. Just waking up in the morning and you're still a human, doggone. Still got to get up on that stirrups, on that mule. That boy last night, so full of the Holy Ghost, he's sitting there driving home, took his hands off the steering wheel. We can drive without steering wheel. I said, no, you can't. Put your hands back on that wheel. He's sitting there. I'm sure we can. I'm sure you can't. You put them... Full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, it is possible. Oh, yes, it is. But you get them hands back up there, will you? Serious, the bull is on fire, man. And that's what you do. You train your whole life. I train these guys. We can do this. We can do this. We can turn aside. Take your shoes off. Let's do it. Make the right decisions. Go through the fire. It breaks all natural law. I know it. Bow to it. Let it. You won't get it any other way without revelation. I can't cram it down you, pray it on you. You've got to be revealed to who Jesus is. I can explain it, and I apologize. I'm not doing real good. You can do a lot better. I know you can. You're more educated than me. I ride a mule, man, for heaven's sake. Walking into Secretary of Defense's Donald Rumsfeld's office and praying in tongues does not make me the Secretary of Defense. Hello? Just like putting me in an oven and turning the fire on don't make me a biscuit. Speaking of biscuits, Ms. Hogan, soon. Oh, yeah. Real butter, sorghum syrup. Oh. White milk gravy. Oh. And a side of fried salt pork. Oh, come on. He looked and he saw that it was true. You have too. But it's not up to me. It's up to me to turn aside for myself. Okay? And it's up to you to do the same thing. People wonder all the time, why are you different? I have been revelated who Jesus is. He is the one that can light the bush on fire and it not burn up. He is the one that can walk on water. He is the one that can raise the dead. He is the one that opens blinded eyes. He is the one that somehow takes pins and titanium and stainless out of people and puts bones back. That's not possible. I know. It's his fault. I'm a biscuit eater, man. I'm sorry. I eat biscuits and gravy. I'm sorry. Jeez, I ride a mule. I don't know. But Jesus, on the other hand, lights bushes on fire and they don't burn up. Go figure that. How? I don't know, man. You figure it out. I'm sure you'll tell me. But I let him. Because you know why? That's who he is. That's who he is to this church, too. All right, I got to quit this. I'm having so much fun, but it's time to stop. Y'all have been way past gracious to us. Thank you. Moses said, I'll turn aside and see. You know what? He had a copy on with the bushes burning, but it wasn't burning up. I want to go see that. Why? What is that? He was inquisitive. He was curious. How can that be? It's a law. It's a natural that's being broken over here. How come? Why? What's? So he left the sheep. I tell you who he is. He's a mess. You don't leave sheep. He did. Another mistake. He left the sheep, went over there, and then he bumped head on into the Holy Ghost. And then his life changed, and he never, ever again had the great goodness to sit on the backside of this desert and hide. Oops. He was thrust into the power of God through the revelation of who Jesus is. And it carried him before kings. And it made him a deliverer of nations. Wow. Wow. That is who you are. You are a deliverer that has to be found by the Holy Ghost. So the Word of God is very important, isn't it? And when the Lord saw it, he turned aside. God called him out of the middle of the bush. What did Moses say? Uh-oh, there's those words. Isn't it funny? Generations go by and it's the same words to God. That's just the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. Your answer to God is, here I am. I'm right here, heaven. And I bow to your greatness. So a lot of things went on. Kick your feet off. And here's the reason. Look at verse 7. This is a true thing. Must be brought out real quick. It says, Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people. It's God's people under affliction. Yes, we are under siege. New diseases cropping up 2 or 3 a month anymore. New strains, new this. They put straight medicine on same diseases that have evolved. Can't kill them. What's going on here? Affliction. My people are in Egypt and have heard the cry. I've heard their cry. They're taskmasters and oppressors, for I know their sorrow and suffering. God sees your affliction, your sorrow, your sadness. We must turn aside and hear his voice. And we must bow to his greatness. Here I am. Turn the page. Chapter 4. Verse 1, this is the first thing that comes out of your mouth. And it is a true thing. It is true. It's true. Isaiah said it 2 or 3 times. Who's going to believe our report? God. God's not interested in your murmuring and complaining. And it doesn't matter how good your excuses are. Behold, they will not believe me. They won't listen to me. They won't obey me. They will say God hadn't appeared to you. That's true. That is going to happen. Okay, next. Okay, jump down to verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, I am not eloquent. I am not a man of words. I can't do. I'll ride a mule, for heaven's sake. Look at me, God. I'm on the backside. I'm hiding. I'm a murderer. You know, God did the case study before he ever appeared to the man. Hello? Duh! Come on now. God knows who you are. He's still asking you. Isn't that should just amaze you. You show us one thing, God sees the real thing. It's true. We're not eloquent. We're not men of words. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. See there? He went face to face with God and still didn't get his speech impediment fixed. Yeah. Duh! And that was a good excuse. I saw you before, and I'm still the same. I can't do this. See, every one of you have great excuses, and they are very valid, and I do, actually the words humor you. Put up with. Because I have found out God doesn't even give a flip about mine. He listens, but then he says, come on, like I never said nothing. He revealed himself to me. He expects me to bow to it and trust it. The revelation of Jesus the righteous will do. Sorry, y'all. I don't mean a word of that. I'm not sorry. I've had every one of my excuses taken away, so you must too. So did Moses, so did Abraham, so did Elijah, Elisha, so did King David, Solomon, so did everybody. Paul, Saul, all of them, all of us, you too. They're great excuses. You're doing better. And the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? Who makes the dumb and the deaf, the seeing of the blind? Is it not I, says the Lord? It is. Stand up, please. It is God. Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look, Brother George. You coming? Grab you up a helper. Excuse me? Laura. Good choice. I've noticed that. All right. We're going to do three things. One, look for souls. Two, look for people that have actually. Three, this third thing, I am not going to pray for everybody in this house. I'm not. We will after a while. Well, we'll do our best to get them. Almost got everybody last night. It's close. But this is what I want you to do. Of your own volition, of your own decision, we are going to turn aside. And whoever Jesus is to you, we're going to come down these aisles, fill up this front and outside foyer, and we are going to seek heaven for a revelation of Jesus the righteous. Some of you are going to take your shoes off. Others won't. The people that take their shoes off are going to get mad because the people didn't take their shoes off. There you go. Already messing up. Stop it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a Isuzu or a Lexus, a Mercedes-Benz, a Dodge, Ford, a Chevrolet. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's MasterCard or Visa. matters that it's Jesus. Now, y'all go ahead and make your decisions. I'm going to take a minute and pray and pray over these things, and then we're going to go for it, okay? And it's up to you how long you want to stay here. What pastor says after that, I'm good with. In Jesus' name. Talking about, sing about. That's a good idea. Maybe in George's name, take a cookie. God bless you. Sir. Here, if you can get your last name, Lord. God bless you, ma'am. Y'all doing a good job. It's important to notice things. I'll try to. Can I have some of this water here? Thank you. How we doing, everybody? I'm glad y'all got to see me how I care about those people. That right there is a God-given gift, too. Because most of the time it's always us, isn't it? Not somebody else. Go ahead and hit that a couple of rounds if you don't mind.